Look, in that case, I might just get started, and we'll see if people join us over the course of the next few minutes. Good afternoon, good morning, good late evening to all of you. It's Paul Schindler from AUDA here, chair of this study group at this stage. Thank you all for making the time to join us. This call, as kindly organised by Bart, is basically our first opportunity to catch up and to have any discussion of substance since our last get-together in Singapore. Due to the various vagaries of European summer breaks and leave periods of my own and others, there obviously hasn't been a great deal of progress since the last meeting, but what has occurred has been quite significant. I'll go into that a little bit later on. Obviously, the first agenda item was a roll call. I know you've already quickly worked through it, Gabby, but could you take care of the remainder?
Sure. Yes. From the CCNSO, we have Henry Chan, Ian Chang, Annabeth Lange, Catherine Reynolds, and Paul Schindler. From the GNSO, we have Ilya Bazlyankov, Heather Forrest, and Folke Greyman. From the at-large, we have Eduardo Diaz, and Cheryl Langdonor from ALAC. As a specialist, we have Imgarda Kasin Kaite Budeberg from UNESCO. And staff, we have Bart Buswinkel, Marika Konings, Christina Nordstrom, and myself, Gabriella Schittig. And we have apologies from Joke Brecken, Keith Davidson, Hiro Hotta, Martin Simon, and Tanya Ling.
Wonderful. Thank you, Gabby. Was there anybody else?
Sorry. Who else joined?
This is Yangam.
Hello, Yangam. Welcome. So we have Yangam Lee as well from the CCNSO.
Okay.
Yangam, it's Paul Schindler here. Yes, we've just gone through the roll call, so we're only just beginning to commence our discussions.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gabby. As I said, this is the first opportunity to have any discussion of any substance since Singapore. The main area of activity, as discussed at that meeting, was, or one preliminary area, was the involvement of UNESCO in the activities of this group. As everyone would be aware, there's a standing agreement between ICANN and UNESCO, the exact wording or description of which I don't have in front of me, a partnership agreement, I believe, in which UNESCO's willing and able to provide expertise to ICANN on various policy and other matters. In this particular case, we developed a note to UNESCO through the auspices of Janusz Karklins to assist this study group with developing a topology for its work and how it would consider the use of country and territory names, CLDs. Following Bart's email, either the first one or the second one, depending upon which PDF you managed to open, you would see that there's already been some preliminary advice in very short time back from UNESCO already. And I have to admit I'd only worked through it in a preliminary fashion myself, but to that end, I was wondering if I could call on Imgarda, who was from UNESCO, to speak a little bit to the advice and to some of the commentary that UNESCO had provided. I hope everyone's had a chance to have a good look at that note. If not, I was hoping that Imgarda might be able to expand upon it a little bit. Again, the request was obviously how a topology could be developed and some of the headings and groupings that could be used in it. Imgarda, would you be happy to talk to that annex that was included in that note a little bit?
Yes, of course. Thank you. We are very glad to be part of this group, first of all, and you were referring to the partnership agreement that we have between ICANN and UNESCO. So what we did in this particular case, we have an intersectoral working group on language-related issues at UNESCO. And so that was kind of discussed a little bit earlier in summer. But we decided to do kind of internal to look at this internally. before we engage in any formal kind of communication with our member states. So the members of this working group looked at the typology, which we find already quite well elaborated. We haven't been so much involved in the initial discussions, but we found it what the typology, what it was sent to us, or possible typology per country and territory. This example provided was kind of explicit enough, and we had some kind of, you know, more kind of recommendations rather than kind of, you know, instructions how this typology has to be developed. So if certain things you find maybe not appropriate already discussed, you can simply avoid them and not take them, you know, into consideration. If certain things you find useful, we'll be happy, you know, if needed, to assist and provide additional information. So I understand why our letter was circulated to the members of the group. So there are some questions what we had, not all answers we had as well for ourselves. So as I say again, these are more kind of, you know, preliminary views rather than kind of instructions or strong recommendations how to follow. Now, I saw what you want as well in the messages. You wanted to kind of a little bit know more how UNESCO can assist you. And so that is the point 12 in our letter, where we were proposing basically once we agree on kind of draft typology, we can assist ICANN and the group as well to make a first, let's say, formal testing of typology and asking to basically requesting our member states and relevant institutions to provide first data. And we were thinking that maybe 20 countries from different regions, that would be appropriate number to see what is the responses and if there are any kind of changes, modifications to be done before the project can be scaled up at a larger level. So having said this, maybe if someone has some concrete questions, can ask me. If I will be able to reply, I'll reply. And just in general, you know, it would be interesting to know, you know, how did you find it useful, those preliminary views expressed by UNESCO.
I'm going to thank you. I thought I would open the call up at that point to any questions that anyone may have. I just reiterate, in the first instance, obviously this is the first opportunity people have had to see this and to discuss it, and then also to start thinking about our draft document about policies and current rules in a little greater depth. So obviously with Dakar only a matter of a week and a bit away, we need not come to anything, you know, too formal in terms of a view on this document, but given that Mgad has given us her time, I was just wondering whether anyone had any particular questions about this first input from UNESCO.
Paul, this is Bart. Maybe it's an idea that I first ran through, say, because, say, the initial typology which we more or less came up with. So I'll stop sharing this document and give a bit of explanation, say, on the background typology or the strawman for the typology.
Yeah, go for it, Bob.
So I'll open up that one on the in the Adobe room. Say, this is a strawman following the discussions of the working group in Singapore, and say that was say this is one of the main activities, and one of the so I think Heather, you made the reference to the UNGGN. So what we've done is look at the work of the UNGGN. And one of the documents they've produced, and the link is included, is, for instance, a glossary of terms. Now, my basic idea was, our basic idea was to use that glossary and find and see if they have some descriptions of country names or geographical denunciations that we could use as a study group. So what I've done in this case, I just, and I'll scroll down, is You see, there is this is a summary from the glossary with all the, I think, relevant sections of relating to the geographic names and different types of geographic names. I've put them in a spreadsheet and say in one of my brasher moments, I applied them for the Netherlands. And so just to see if it would work. Now, based on this typology and involving the UNESCO, we've sent this typology as a starting point to UNESCO, see if, say, from that perspective, it would work, and that resulted in the letter I just shared with you. So what you see, the document that I've included in the pack is more or less a strawman for typology, and the suggestion is to have a closer look at it during the Singapore meeting and to reflect on it, including the, say, the notes from UNESCO and to seek for clarification, etc. So this is a starting point, or this is intended to be a starting point for the discussion on a typology. Thanks.
Thank you, Bart. And again, I'll with that clarification, although it may be a little bit premature, it is our first opportunity before we meet in Dakar to deliberate over this. Does anyone have any questions about either where Bart started with the typology that he presented or the input that UNESCO has given so far?
Paul, this is Annabeth speaking.
Yes.
Hello. I think this kind of spreadsheet you made about is a very good example of how complicated these things are. But this is one of our main goals here, to try to show how complicated it is and which way we can solve these different questions. And the input from UNESCO is a very good starting point to illustrate the theme. So thank you for what you've done so far.
But to follow up on the preliminary advice, and I acknowledge that it has been accepted as expert advice, not an official UNESCO position. So spirit of collaboration as we work through this is appreciated. With regards to a pilot project, at least on the surface, it sounds like an eminently reasonable approach to this is a mountain, this is a problem, this is an issue that we all suspect, we're aware of what the scope of it might be, but we're not exactly sure. Therefore, a pilot may well enlighten us as we begin down the path. But if there were to be a pilot project starting from a preliminary list of, say, 20 countries, do you have any indication of what sort of time frame that sort of input and the time we'd have to allow to gather that input and then to process it and then present it would be? Not trying to formalise a timeline, but just very roughly speaking, it's an important step, so it's therefore important for us to have some acknowledgement of what the timeline might be.
Just before I speak about pilot project, maybe I can just give you a little bit an idea what would mean, because we call it preliminary views, and we don't call it yet as an official UNESCO position. Normally, when we say it is an official UNESCO position, we organize international expert meetings. We organize international consultations. So basically, group like yours would be invited at UNESCO and would stay a number of days with us, and we would be working together on, let's say, something like this, like typology proposed in advance, and would be reviewing and coming at the end of the meeting with some kind of, one common opinion, saying what, for example, the proposed typology is acceptable by for the experts who were attending the meeting and as well as the Secretariat of UNESCO. And in some instances, of course, if the document, in this case, of course, apology, we would not need to have an endorsement from member states, but that would be kind of a formal way of, you know, coming to official opinion of UNESCO, official position. This is why, because it was internal review without consulting external experts who would be really preselected under certain kind of criteria established in advance. This is what we are not in a position to call this as an official position. Now, speaking about this pilot project, our proposal would be what we would select. UNESCO has five major regions around the world. So in this case, we would have several countries, depending, you know, again, it's not necessarily have to be equal, but a good geographical distribution and plus in terms of linguistic aspects. And to identify at least, let's say, 20 countries which would be requested to complete online questionnaire. This is what at least it looks like for us. It could be done kind of an online tool, but we would have the digital data already entered by member states. And contacting official institutions in those member states which are responsible for language policies. First of all, informing our permanent delegations and national commissions of UNESCO and asking them to assist us to contact those institutions in cases where we don't have contact. And so if the tool is prepared rapidly, we think it can be done, let's say, between 3 to 6 months or even faster. Let's say 3 months would be something like, would be feasible. We think from the practice we would need maybe several reminders to those institutions to do their work. And so that would be some kind of a first pilot phase completed, at, let's say, at the end of between 3 and 6 months. This is what the timeline, what we would think. Now, we can give shorter deadlines. It depends on us, you know, how fast, how rapidly we need the results of the pilot phase project, because we can give shorter deadlines, but sometimes we leave more space and time for those institutions to reply, because some institutions can be really well organized and they would really would be able to provide rapidly with data. For some institutions, maybe it would require some additional time. So basically, this is what I say, maybe maximum 6 months, but option like, let's say, short-term, maybe 3 months.
Wonderful. I'm going to thank you for that, both for the clarification of the status of the input from UNESCO, the processes that you go through, and also those indicative timeframes. Obviously, the work of this study group does work to a deadline. However, the involvement of UNESCO and the execution of a pilot project or subsequent work from that is very important in terms of enlightening us and the broader ICANN community as to exactly how complicated this issue might be. So that's very useful to know. And obviously, I wouldn't ask for members of the group to take a position on whether that's a reasonable first step in a dedication of time at this stage. But it certainly informs our deliberations, and I don't see why after Dakar I'll be too surprised if that were one of the steps that we might head towards soon after. Were there any other questions or input on the comments received from UNESCO at this stage?
Yes, good morning. This is Tony Harris.
Tony, go ahead.
I was reading the UNESCO document, and my question is Article 2, which says referring to the ISO 3166-1 standard alpha 2 codes. It would seem to indicate that there's an opinion here that that list of codes should be expanded with the investigation as on other names which could be in use and be perhaps more than two letters or two characters. The question I have, excuse me, I have a bit of a cold. The question I have is, would this impact on the current guidebook? Because the guidebook for new top-level domains is very specific about names which are included in the ISO 3166-1 list. And it doesn't seem that there would be time, I'm just curious, to modify this before January 12th when the new program is launched.
We were not proposing to, kind of, we were proposing to have maybe two separate columns in the table, one referring to ISO standard, and another one maybe this kind of, you know, other possible frequently used versions, like we provided one example. So it means in this case, maybe it would not require really much of the kind of modifications. It's just only providing another space, which would be maybe not exactly ISO standard, or it would be not ISO standard, but it would be something like other versions used frequently. So, of course, in this case, we, as we're recommending to speak with ISO colleagues and see what kind of advice we would have in this case. Because we understand the standard is standard, and basically it's not in UNESCO who's in a position to kind of to provide here recommendations. We just thought that maybe if you would introduce an additional column in the table, which would describe, would give an opportunity for those countries which have with shorter versions frequently in use and which could be in some cases misleading, just to be identified. Now, we, after the pilot project, if it will be implemented, those kind of details we expect it will come, because member states would indicate those institutions responsible. It would be as well required to indicate what kind of difficulties we have in completing this table, and as well as many other elements which maybe were not reflected or were reflected and maybe not accurately. So it's just in a proposal if you consider to have additional column included.
I understand. But I also recall, I don't have the guidebook here in front of me right now, that there is in addition to the ISO 3166-1 standard, the reference to this list, there is a reference to a United Nations list, which is of three characters, acronyms which define countries and territories. So basically, what you are saying is there would be this. What we are looking at here is an entirely different and new, a new column of of possibilities.
Yeah, we're not referring here to United Nations list because it is an official document. We were referring to something like an example we gave it. We think it's not so. It in some countries it can be not real or official. So it could be a shorter version of non-official, let's say, term of a country.
Thank you.
This is Annabeth again. Could I ask a question?
Please do.
What you're saying now is that all the suggestions in the UNESCO annex compared with the guidebook on section 22141 about what's regarded as the country and territory names today, it can easily be a contradiction there, so that somebody applies for something that's not in the exception in 22141, that could be accepted already now in the first round as a name in the GPLD.
Yes.
So then if we make a new list afterwards, then it could already be too late.
Is the question for me?
Well, it's more like a clarification. Have I misunderstood this, or?
No, not at all. Actually, I was pointing at that because I was not too sure whether this list was to be produced before the launching of the program or afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
If it's produced afterwards, well, of course, it's not in the guidebook. It's still, I think there's still a safeguard because looking at the way the guidebook is written today, the GAC has ample space to present objections and and stop any application. I mean, that's the way I read it anyhow.
Yeah, that's true.
Tony Hanover, it's Paul here again. It certainly sounds as though that is a particular element of our deliberations that we should expand upon at Dakar, and obviously we have that meeting. There is, we haven't yet fleshed out the agenda for that session in great detail, which is agenda item 5 for this call, but I think that's something that we could look into in greater depth there if you both agree. My own personal interpretation is obviously, for the sake of completeness, this is preliminary advice or input from UNESCO regarding being complete in the full range of acronyms and codes that we could end up using, so or referring to. So I think that's certainly something that we could cover off in a fuller discussion on topology when we get to Dakar, if you both agree, just for the sake of us moving on this call. Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll be in Dakar. It's fine.
Excellent. Thank you both. Sorry, Bart?
Yes, because, say this discussion goes right into, say, the overview of policies that are applicable today. Say, I've updated the previous version to take into account that the applicant guidebook has been adopted by the board. So maybe it's an idea to run through, and that's a starting point for the Dakar discussion as well.
It's also a wonderful segue to our next agenda item for this call. Bart, are you happy to speak to a couple of those most recent changes, or those changes? Unless I'm very much mistaken, I didn't have that document attached to my email, but...
Okay, it's on the Adobe room. So this is version 2. So I just highlight the major differences. First of all, because of the adoption of the applicant guidebook by the board, the current policies which are applicable has changed. Policy under development is the IDN CCPDP rules to date. And what I've also included, and that was already in the previous version, is the current contention rules. This now includes the new GTLDs. And I'll look into that one in more details later on. And contention rules under development are, the IDN CCPDP contention rules. To date, they are very similar to what's under the fast track rules. So, in my view, this more or less provides a good overview of all the rules that are all the rules that are in place, which the study group has to look and which apply to the use of country names or territory names as DLDs. So the current policy, that's two letter codes, that's pretty simple and straightforward, I would say. Fast track process for IDN CCTLDs, I think that's pretty straight and forward. And I've included the criteria, etc., and procedural requirements. And the new element is, the treatment of country names on the new GTLD process. This is just copied from the applicant guidebook, and I think Tony and Annabeth, you were referring to this list
the list on page 4 in your version 2 document?
Page 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Page 3 it is. So it starts with an alpha 3 code listed in the ISO 31.
Yes. Yes, right.
The ISO 316. Yeah. 1.
Yeah.
So
this is what will be excluded in the first round, first application round.
Yes. So that going back to Tony's question, I think, but that's my read of the statement. This study group was established to deal with issues as of the second round of applications. So in that sense, we have time. So what happens right now is, what happens right now, and the study group will not be able to address any issues. But that's my opinion.
I agree.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. I agree with you, Bart, but what my point was that if someone applies for something that's not in this listing,
yes,
in the first round,
yeah,
it might easily be in the study group's intention to have it in there in the second round.
Yes.
But then it might be too late because it's already in the system when if nobody objects.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then
the confusion
we have talked about earlier, the confusion between the GTLDs and the country and territory names still might easily arise anyway.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's a fact of life.
Yeah.
Yes, Annabeth, with 93 days and counting, I think we have to concede that that's a very real possibility,
yes,
at least in the first round.
So when we started the study group, it was envisioned that we need to... well ahead of of the second round, it needs to produce its final report.
Mm-hmm.
But let me continue. So that's included this section. Say policy on the development. It's the IDN CCTLD overall policy. I just invite you to go to read it in preparation of the Dakar meeting. Then say, and what is probably the most interesting bit is the contention rules. Say there are contention rules in the fast track process. There are contention rules in the new GTLD process. So one is, for instance, the string similarity check. This relates to CCTLDs, and you can already see what will happen if there is. Say in future, this was one of the gaps I noted. I don't know if, for instance, this string similarity check applies if a new GTLD string looks confusingly similar to one of the excluded strings. But that's an open question. Another one, and which I have included, is, and this is all in the applicant guidebook, is objection procedures. And again, I'm not very familiar with the applicant guidebook. I just included them, say, for discussion by the working group, and maybe with advice from the experts on the applicant guidebook, I can start whether, say, for instance, the objection rule by the GEC may, or where the GEC may provide advice, is applicable to country names, and whether the public objection and dispute resolution process, either community objection or the limited public interest objection, is applicable as well. So these are just questions. So that is probably for the Dakar meeting. It's again, a point for discussion by the working group is to is to understand whether this list of policies and this overview is complete, or maybe some people or some sections need to be striken out, so not included. That's the overview, Paul.
Thank you, Bart. And you've basically stolen my thunder there. That's precisely what I was going to say. Given this second version is largely new to most of those in the group, the question was, as per the agenda, have we missed anything? Have we captured all of the policies and the rules associated, all of the relevant policies and rules? Is there a possibility of any misinterpretation there? Again, we don't expect answers on this call, but that is something that we'd like to sharpen everyone's thinking about as we come into having our session in Dakar.
Okay. Sorry,
I think I'm just getting some background noise there. I thought it was a comment, so I was just letting it go. Basically, that document is one that I'd like everyone to consider before we come into the meeting, and we will dedicate some time when we have a session to working through it in some greater length, because it is one of the major, it's the foundation of a response to one of the major responsibilities of the study group, and that is the complete mapping of the uses of country names and the various processes that currently exist or have existed that are relevant to the use of country and territory names. So we'll discuss that more expansively in Dakar. With that, I thought, and also keeping an eye on time, I thought we'd move on to the following item, which was a bit of an introduction to a straw man proposal. I alluded to it earlier, a straw man for how topology would be addressed. Again, we sort of touched on it before, but did you want to expand on that little further so that everyone can at least be become familiar with it?
No, I think that the major points, what I've sent to the group is just the overview, and some people on the call already requested if I could send, the one for .NL I filled in privately. And maybe it's an idea for those on the call, if you see how it works for your own territory or country, and see whether this is a reasonable approach, and that together and then have a discussion on it in Dakar as well. Unless somebody has any questions on the type.
No, of course. Were there any at this stage? Okay, well, we'd set aside a time. Bart or Gabby, could you remind me, that was scheduled for a little bit later in the week. Was it Wednesday?
It's Thursday, but I'm not aware.
Thursday.
Yeah. I don't know about the time. Gabby or Christina?
Sorry, I was on mute. Actually, Christina, you schedule it. On the 27th at 10 o'clock, she's typing to me. Okay. So on the 27th after Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Okay, fantastic. What I propose to do is we've identified a couple of issues out of this call, just as having a preliminary chat about the input from UNESCO, the need for a more expansive discussion on topology, and also possible next steps and the timeframes that we'd be working towards in collaboration with staff. I'd propose that probably Becky and I would have a bit of a chat about a few other agenda items that we'd like to see to flesh out the session without being too prescriptive. Again, obviously via the group email, it'd be great if anyone's got any particular issues that they would like to see addressed in detail. The purpose of this call was largely to expose you all to some of those more recent deliberations so that everyone's a little more informed before we start in Dakar. Again, if there's a particular item you'd like to see discussed on the agenda, let us know, but our aim is that within the next day or two or the next few days, we'll circulate something that will help colour and flesh out the agenda for the session, Dakar, and then also probably finishing with next steps, where we see it then going as we come to the end of the calendar year and into the early next, given our overall timeframes. From my perspective, that was the majority of the major issues that we wanted to cover off and not excessively bombard everyone with important advancements on the various issues so far. Was there any other business? Were there other matters that people wanted to bring up or questions they had of other members of the group or of MGADA at this stage? My kind of silence. Excellent. Look, thank you everyone for your time. At this stage, we'll expect to send a note out in the next couple of days. If anyone's got anything, by all means, please let us know. I'm sorry, I was just busy being distracted by by my chat room, but thank you all, and look forward to seeing you all in Senegal. Safe travels, and we'll see you on the mail list in the meantime.
Paul, it's Annabeth
yes.
again. As you know, I will not be coming to the car, but as long as I know the time, I will try to follow you from Norway.
Absolutely.
Yes. There is the opportunity for remote participation anyway.
Yes. All right. Have a nice time
okay.
in the car.
Okay.
See you
thank
next
you
time.
All.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.